This audio recording is brought to you by SuccessUltraNow.com and DavidWolf.com. The content of this audio recording is based on the book Amazing Grace by David Wolf and Dr. Nick Good, released by North Atlantic Books and distributed by Random House.
Third principle, mana. All power comes from within. There is a variable schism which seeds the marrow of infinity, and we ever seek to raise our lips to suckle the nectar of its omsa. That's from Okwa Tanjin Wang. The third principle of Huna is known as mana. All power comes from within. Recall the Africans aboard Captain John Newton's slave ship, shackled to the floor below deck, seasick, soul-weary, and trapped in an impossible situation. Yet, in spite of the close proximity of a terrible death, they were able to draw upon mana, the power that always resides somewhere deep inside. It is never too late. Even when you have given everything you have got, there is always something left. More and more we are being called to summon this power within. To do this, we must be able to tap that potent natural resource that is an ocean which laps against the shores of our own soul. That ocean is our physical body. Its ability to transmit soul power into this reality is dependent on the art of nutrition. Not just any old nutrition, but what the superhero archetype requests, the best nutrition ever. You are what you eat connotes a holy relationship, a holy communion with the greater part of ourselves. You are what you eat is a zip file we were given when incarnated that guides us, strengthens us, remakes us anew, unfolds us when needed, and assists our sacred journey. The superhero understands this at the depths of his or her soul and immediately selects to avoid all pesticide sprayed, larvicide soaked, fungicide washed, herbicide dipped, suicide filled, chemically fertilized, genetically modified, hormonally altered, E. coli contaminated, greedy substances that are currently called food. The superhero, upon becoming aware, immediately selects a diet rich in raw, organic living foods. These foods include fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, seaweeds, sprouts, grasses, herbs, and superfoods. For more details on raw, organic living food diets, please read David Wolf's books, Eating for Beauty, The Sun Food Diet Success System, and Naked Chocolate. Coupled with these food choices, we offer deep recognition to history's leading genius hearts, master herbalists, and agricultural artists, including Rudolf Steiner, Julius Hensel with his Bread from Stones, Dr. Maynard Murray with his Sea Energy Agriculture, as well as hundreds of others. These remarkable individuals have given us the keys to the best nutrition ever. They have given us the understanding that love-filled intention and high mineral content food is the basis of wholesome nutrition. If the soil is rich with love-filled intention and minerals by the application of powdered rocks, river silt, ocean water residues, Dead Sea salt extracts, etc., the food grown therein will be superior in vitamins, minerals, enzymes, protein, polysaccharides, oils, and immune system, skeletal, as well as nervous system supporting nutrients. Their knowledge, in combination with the living superfood diet, now links into one of the greatest scientific rediscoveries of our time. The rediscovery of an entirely new class of mineral substances that are deeply associated with life force energy, consciousness, and superpowers. The following discussion opens cracks in the floors of the hallowed halls of present-day science misunderstandings, and it allows you to take immediate agricultural and dietary advantage of this momentous discovery. Mana is a Hawaiian word, also a Hebrew-Egyptian word, meaning power and life force, and it appears to have the identical meaning as the Sanskrit word prana. Others have used the term mana interchangeably with terms such as life force, energy, breath, spirit, vitality, wind, and strength. Mana is said to work on, in, and around us. We, however, identify mana not in an exotic or exclusively esoteric way, but as a class of physically distinct atomic mineral substances that are unique forms of matter that appear to be closer to the state of ether or vacuum or pure energy than normal matter, such as the common mineral and atomic compounds found on Mendeleev's periodic table of the elements. These distinct substances also seem to be intimately woven into the fabric of living things. They appear to be associated with what causes everything to live. These forms of matter can have an attraction for the heavens, and through proper forms of motion and catalysts, they will etherealize and levitate, or actually fall upwards. Such substances in spiral motion in combination with hydrogen and sulfur compounds could be the cause of all plant and animal growth upward against gravity. We believe they can, under controlled scientific conditions, actually displace the force of gravity, thus causing levitation. These substances are not like the other atomic units of matter found on the periodic table of the elements. When isolated and separated from other parent materials, these substances display consciousness. They move to escape isolation by jumping or teleporting into nearby salts, oils, water sources, and even the atmosphere itself. On the internet, these substances are not called mana. They are called ormus, sometimes also referred to as aurum, monatomic elements and or M-state materials. In our definition, ormus and mana mean the same thing and we use them interchangeably. Ormus atoms or minerals are a chemically identified separate class of substances, just like the halogens or the metals, except that ormus atoms do not find placement on the two-dimensional periodic table of the elements. Ormus elements appear to be isolated or microcluster bits of atomic materials that are closer, as previously mentioned, to the pure energy state of the vacuum, ether, or zero point. Ormus elements can have the visible appearance, when isolated and dried, of silicon-like ceramic powdery substances. Ormus elements apparently show up in our reality, deep in the earth, in lava, in salt, in the ocean, in springs, etc., as infolded substances that, under certain types of stimulation, will unfold into a metal. Ormus could be the source of all metals. Therefore, we identify the ormus elements in relationship to the metal they can unfold into. For example, ormus copper, ormus gold, ormus rhodium, etc. This brings us to an interesting immediate supposition. What if the whole periodic table of the elements, the scientific cataloguing of the atoms, hydrogen, helium, carbon, oxygen, sulfur, nitrogen, calcium, iodine, gold, etc., is incomplete? Then everything we were taught about the atomic content of water, stones, precious minerals, gems, crystals, plants, animals, etc., is incomplete. It has been discovered in this regard that what is being called carbon is actually not always carbon. Sometimes it is something else. What is being called calcium is actually not always calcium. Sometimes it is something else. What is being called silicon is actually not always silicon. Sometimes it is something else. What is being called iron sometimes is actually not always iron. Sometimes it is something else. And that something else is actually mana, ormus. This material is found inside of every human being. David Hudson, a present-day alchemist who rediscovered ormus in basalt rock in the Arizona desert, indicates that as much as 5% of the dry matter weight of our nervous system could be ormus elements, in particular, ormus rhodium and ormus iridium, based on ormus extractions he conducted on calf and pig brains. As the current internet ormus theory has it, ormus elements are the bridge for what brings light into your body. They literally feed your light body. They are an intimate part of what causes you to be conscious. The rediscovery of ormus in our times by alchemist David Radius Hudson appears to be one of the greatest scientific breakthroughs ever. It has revivified and given new meaning to history's great alchemical writings. Because of the dynamic nature of communication in our times, David Hudson's information, as recorded and transcribed during his famous lectures for audiences in Dallas, Yale, Vancouver, and Global Sciences, which are available on the internet, reveals alchemical secrets in a format that is understandable and useful to the layperson, as well as the curious home scientist or mild-mannered superhero. David Hudson made some innovative discoveries. He found that ormus minerals are present in animals, plants, and in the soil of the earth itself in varying concentrations. Hudson also discovered that ormus may be 10 times more abundant in human tissue than all trace minerals, for example, zinc, copper, iodine, chromium, etc., combined. The implications of all this, as it pertains to nutrition, become obvious. What if we have been deficient in ormus minerals? What if we've been taking the wrong kind of mineral supplements? Is it possible that we and our ancestors have never been filled to the brim with ormus minerals and therefore never achieved our full capabilities of personal power? Hudson's research led to the theory that ormus elements can be accumulated by individuals who ingest ormus in various forms: food, concentrated supplements, atmospheric sources, fresh spring water at the source, through the skin, psychically, meditatively. We suspect that ormus can be accumulated and excreted from two types of evidence. We find that the physical evidence felt by those who take ormus mineral supplements appear to accumulate. Ormus elements can be extracted from urine. Therefore, it is reasonable to conclude that the content of ormus elements in the human body is dynamic, not stable. We have found and collected data over a number of years indicating that certain plants either mine and sequester ormus elements within their living cells in higher densities than other plants, or concentrate them in high quantities in ways that other plants do not. Even though this list is far from complete and very rudimentary, we can now say with relative certainty that the ormus-rich plants and edibles include almonds, aloe vera, apricot kernels, that's the inner pit of the stone, bee pollen, wild, especially from volcanic regions, bloodroot, blue-green algae from Klamath Lake, Oregon, carrots, and that depends on the ormus content of the soil, camay rose, chocolate, organic chocolate contains ormus and nickel, coconut water, wild, flax oil, garlic, goji berries, that's in the polysaccharides, grasses and grains, if grown with diluted ocean water or with the proper fertilizer. Grasses and grains include wheat, barley, corn, rice, sugarcane, etc. Grape seeds, honey, wild, especially from volcanic regions, larch bark, medicinal mushrooms, reishi, cordyceps, coriolis, formus, formentarius, shiitake, and maitake, etc. Mustard, brown and stone ground, noni fruit, propolis, royal jelly, shark cartilage, sheep sorrel, slippery elm bark, St. John's wort, vanilla, the whole beans, watercress, and white pine bark. It is becoming more and more clear that the superfoods and superherbs of the planet concentrate the enormous minerals more than other foods. It is possible that future analytical data will support the presence of high ormus concentrations in spirulina, chlorella, marine phytoplankton, maca, kelp, as well as other seaweeds, hemp and many other seeds, nettles, asparagus, ginseng, astragalus, horseshoe woo, that's fo tea, cat's claw bark, padiaco bark, tulsi, ashwagandha, tree sap, and maple and pine, many of the berries, acai, blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, schizandra, ginseng berries, spikenard berries, gooseberries, Incan berries, etc. These are the primary foods of the superhero. Imagine the rejuvenation and hydration of every one of your cells. Picture your every cell as a galaxy with a spinning black hole, a singularity, at its center, and a renewed event horizon, membrane, allowing it to magnetize new energy levels, awarenesses, and cellular attitudes. In the greatest movie of all the ages, it appears that GMO popcorn and high fructose licorice are going to be replaced by the best food ever. On his website, subtleenergies.com, Barry Carter lists at least 6 ways to concentrate ormus out of natural substances in order to create what we will call ormus mineral supplements. We have pioneered at least 2 additional methods to concentrate ormus in our laboratory. These were developed and perfected while producing ormus gold. There are likely many other ways to create ormus mineral supplements or concentrates. By using wood-burning stoves, not electric or gas, and fresh spring water, we have demonstrated that during water heat extractions of certain plant materials, especially tree mushrooms, vanilla, and goji berries, we can extract ormus containing compounds, polysaccharides, intact in the tea. Alchemical consciousness. One of the unwritten rules of alchemy is that the alchemist must consume the product of his or her alchemy in order to completely understand not only what she or he is dealing with, but how to achieve even higher levels of alchemical production. This is how the great Swiss scientist Albert Hofmann cracked the secret of magic mushrooms. The reason why Hofmann was able to figure out how magic mushrooms worked and why he was able to isolate the primary active chemical compound in magic mushrooms, namely psilocybin, is that he was the only scientist on the task who was actually eating the products of his experiments. Ormus and Ancient Egypt. According to legend, the ancient Egyptians ingested ormus elements with frankincense and or myrrh essential oils. The Egyptians called ormus mana, or sometimes in the Egyptian Book of the Dead, mfkst, meaning, what is it? In ancient Hebrew, the word mana has the same meaning as the sentence, what is it? According to Hudson, the ascension and spiralization of the crown prince into the pharaoh involved a 9-month fast on ormus elements. He speculated that the ascending pharaoh would ingest 500 milligrams of ormus gold per day. Ormus in the Bible. There are many possible references to Ormus in both the Torah and New Testament. It is written in Revelations, "Blessed be the man who will overcome, for he shall be given the hidden manna, the white stone of purest kind, upon which will be written a new name." That's Revelations 2:17. Exodus 32, verses 19 to 20 records the following incident after the Israelites had begun worshipping the golden calf. "And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it with fire, and ground it to powder, and scattered it upon the water, and made the people of Israel drink it." Revelation chapter 21, verses 18 to 21, mentions something unique about Ormus gold. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. David Hudson discovered that Ormus gold could be nailed into a clear glass and speculated that the capstone of the Great Pyramid at Giza may have been made of Ormus gold glass. From what we have learned so far, we see that knowledge of our hidden manna is revolutionary. Ormus may be understood as the wire that connects our consciousness to the inner network of pure energy and imagination. This has been called various names by different thinkers: infinite intelligence, the oversoul, the implicate order, eternal consciousness, the Akashic records, etc. Stated another way, Ormus elements are the physical substances that most easily access the non-physical matrix of eternal consciousness. Based on our current knowledge about Ormus and the function of Ormus in living cells, we feel secure in quoting the following metaphor by Barry Carter. "It is like every cell has a cell phone. These are the Ormus containing structures inside the cell. The Ormus elements themselves are like the microwave transducers, the modem, that connect with the implicate network, the internet. The cell's phone's antenna is the DNA, which acts to pull in information from eternal consciousness and resonate it to other cells or cell phones with the same DNA. The landline phone consists of our neurotransmitters and nerves that essentially act as a backup system to the Ormus cell phone. A malfunction in the Ormus cell phone system appears to be related to aging, and a malfunction in the landline backup network appears to be associated with depression. Now the questions arise. What if our cells have never had the proper cell phone or the best cell phone? What if our DNA could suddenly be repaired and our antennae started to function properly? What if we had enough Ormus saturate in our system that every cell in our body began to resonate in perfect harmony? If Ormus elements transduce more energy and information directly into the cell, what is the consequence? The answer to these questions contain the promises and possibilities of Ormus agriculture and superhero nutrition, as well as the opportunity of a brilliant and technologically innovative future. We should be aware, based on the anecdotal evidence of individuals who have spent years consuming Ormus supplements, that Ormus elements will help carry and amplify any thought we think. Therefore, a body saturated with Ormus is going to be on a psychic cell phone all the time. We can say anything we want on a cell phone, and it does not respond to the content. Ormus will communicate any content. If we believe that Ormus saturation is the solution, we might take note that positive thinking, paradise goal setting, beautiful spiritual disciplines of practicing compassion, superheroism, etc., as well as raw and living food nutrition, should be considered in conjunction with Ormus supplementation in order to amplify the positivity. What effects do Ormus elements create in the physical body? Due to the novelty of the subject matter, very little scientific data and studies exist on this subject. Most of the research is anecdotal. According to researcher Lawrence Gardner, author of Lost Secrets of the Sacred Ark, some tests were conducted by the Alpha Learning Institute at the World Trade Center in Lugano, Switzerland. Specialists in behavioral sciences and learning deficiencies, such as dyslexia and ADHD, gave measured doses of Ormus mineral supplements to 10 volunteers, males and females of varying ages. Over a number of weeks, the EEG brain scans showed a significant enhancement of alpha waves, leading to hemispheric left and right brain synchronization. This phenomenon facilitates heightened learning ability, memory, creative skills, and lower stress levels. Barry Carter reports that Ormus copper appears to have an anti-aging effect and is known to reverse grey hair in some people. It has been noted that 2 years of consistently taking Ormus copper can darken hair colour. Barry Carter has mentioned that his alchemist friend, known as the Essene, believes that Ormus copper is involved in the working of chlorophyll. This gives us the idea that green leafy vegetables grown in an Ormus-rich environment, watered with ocean water diluted 20 times by distilled water or rainwater, should be an excellent source of anti-aging compounds. We have theorized, based on our own Ormus production experience and experiments, that Ormus gold appears to increase the production of serotonin to affect tryptamine, amino acids, and neurotransmitters, including tryptophan, 5-hydroxytryptophan, melatonin, and dimethyltryptamine. The overall effect of this seems to enhance a sense of well-being and spiritual harmony. If too much Ormus gold is taken, the body will flip the serotonin into melatonin, and one will become sleepy. Unio mystica, the mystical union of opposites, an alchemical principle. This is from Dave Wolf. My research into Ormus and alchemy has led to the following understanding of how Ormus elements interact dynamically with other matter. Ormus elements are female in nature and want to mate with the sun's male energies. The sun's male elements want to mate with the female Ormus elements of the earth. The sun's primary male elements include oxygen, ozone, radiation, and Wilhelm Reich's bions, the squiggly, sperm-like, etherealized objects you see when dark blue and purple colors are present in the atmosphere. Together, the female elements attempt to spiral upwards and reach the sun, and the male elements attempt to spiral downward and reach the earth. These opposites usually meet somewhere near the surface of the earth and create growth in life. The firstborn is dew water, water with no carbon, only Ormus, the mother, and oxygen, the father, and hydrogen, the child. The Ormus elements, because they carry the seed of a child, hydrogen, are therefore, in my opinion, more worthy of study than male elements. The combination of Ormus with solar energies creates growth, as the two are always seeking each other. Ormus is intrinsic to us as humans because we assemble ourselves from the earth and grow toward the sun. The solar energies are brought in primarily by breathing. Therefore, individuals who are massively saturated with Ormus elements automatically attract more oxygen and ozone to themselves by breathing than an individual who is depleted of Ormus and unconscious of such forces. That means that Ormus saturation automatically causes more of the proper oxygenation of the tissues and the creation of the purest dew water in the body. Cooking food on an open flame, or with oil, or in any way with the presence of oxygen can add so much solar energy to Ormus elements that the Ormus will become carbonized and oxidized and therefore less useful nutritionally. Microwaving, irradiating, or using extreme heat with food can flip the Ormus into its metallic state, making it potentially useless or even dangerous. Although the recommendation is not confirmed scientifically, the Ormus community generally advises against sulfur supplements or preservatives, things like MSM, angstrom, sulfur, sulfites, etc., with Ormus supplements, as opposed to Ormus-rich foods, as the sulfur appears to compete for the same receptor sites as those that the Ormus supplements fit into, and or the sulfur is so high in energy that it reacts with the Ormus supplement, atomically changing it. However, Ormus-rich foods are okay to take with MSM, methyl sulfonyl methane, because the Ormus elements are chemically bound into complex molecules and do not react with MSM. David Hudson noted that toxic sulfur compounds called sulfites, used as a food and beverage preservative, deactivate Ormus elements. In other words, move them toward becoming metals. Water. Water is the key element in the world right now and forever. Water consciousness is our primary ally in the unfoldment of the greatest love story ever told. Falling back in love with water can do more to transform you into a superhero than practically anything else. D.H. Lawrence wrote, "Water is H2O, hydrogen two parts, oxygen one part, but there's a third thing that makes it water, and nobody knows what that is." We believe that water actually consists of not just three elements, two known and one unknown, but five atomic substances, namely hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, silicon, and Ormus elements. A fact that is unknown to most people is that one cannot electrolytically disassociate water without a catalyst, an acid. Water with no electrolytes cannot be electrolytically disassociated into oxygen and hydrogen. Therefore, the actual composition of water is still open to debate. We suspect that during the electrolysis of water and acid, the hydrogen coming off as a gas is not pure hydrogen. It still contains carbon and Ormus elements attached to some of the hydrogen atoms. According to Barry Carter, Triple distilled water weighs about 1 pound. That's 0.45 kilos. More per gallon, 3.8 litres, than chemical water made by burning hydrogen in oxygen. And there are only approximately 8.3 pounds, that's 3.8 kilograms, per gallon, 3.8 litres. Additionally, many chemists know that chemically created water is toxic. We believe that chemical water is toxic because it contains almost no carbon, no silicon, and no ormus, and therefore in its hunger will rob those elements from the body in order to become whole. This is from Dave Wolf. In ninth grade, my chemistry teacher told us not to drink the water we were using in a series of experiments. I asked him why. He said that the water is chemical water, made from pure oxygen and hydrogen gases. He told me that pure H2O is toxic and would kill you if you drink enough of it. I thought, H2O is a poison? How many people know that? Then what is water? We thought that H2O was water. This is the basis of our whole science, isn't it? Modern so-called science, which, from its lack of understanding of vital chemistry, is turning the entire planet into a trash heap, must have some major flaws in its assumptions. The misidentification of water as H2O appears to be the worst of science's ill-conceived theories. Dr. Masaru Emoto's work, presented in the book Messages from Water, indicates that something in the water is responding to consciousness instantaneously. It is our contention that this something is the ormus elements inside the water. We have noted that ormus-rich, specifically dense, cold water, that's 39.2 degrees Fahrenheit or 4 degrees Celsius, flows with an oily consistency and a luminous quality. It emits blue light. Ormus, in general, is said to have an oily nature. As discussed, it likes hydrocarbons such as oil. What this means is not certain, but this insight allows you to identify ormus-rich waters. Ultimately, we are children of the living waters. We arise from the level of purity and nobility felt only when one spiritually experiences ice-cold spring waters and creeks emanating from pristine environments or from the glacial melt caves high in the mountains, where the water pours forth with shocking purity. The ennoblement of water in springs due to contact with the information of below-ground minerals and their eons of unknowable geological history provides you the chance to calibrate the true depth and meaning of purity, love, gratitude, and mana. It is our perception that ice-cold living waters, especially those emanating from mysterious places such as the Himalaya, the Andes, and in particular the Canadian Shield, embody the highest levels of health, beauty, and love that the Gaia organism can create. Using David Hawkins' kinesiology method for calibrating consciousness, see his book Power versus Force, we have measured certain sacred spring waters to reach levels of consciousness ranging from 2,500 to 4,000. By contrast, according to Hawkins, Jesus and Buddha measured in at the highest level previously tested for, a level of 1,000. Pure spring water that comes straight out of the earth opens doors for you and gives you a sensory perception of the ormus elements, mana. You can drink spring water, bathe in it, mist it, and breathe it in, carry it with you in a vial, pray over it, or any number of things. All of these methods of using water serve to amplify your perception of mana. And in that moment of perception, you may perceive that all of a sudden, You do not even need the water anymore, because you have received what our friend Peter the Gnome calls the codes of light. These are codes that you can, from that point forward, replicate inside each of your cells on your way to becoming a true knight of cosmic light, Homo Lightenoid. From there, when you meditate, you can meditate on that for a few moments, because you have a cellular experience and now a memory of what water can be. Abundance begets more abundance. Modern mathematics teaches us that 1 plus 1 equals 2. That is not an algebra based on mana. The esoteric understanding in alchemical science is that when you get two together, all of a sudden you have three. Now here is where the principle of mana, Ormus, really begins to deliver its promise that all power is within us. Ormus displays what we call a getter phenomenon. This means that when Ormus is in high concentrations, in a person, location, object, rock, water, etc., it can spontaneously get higher. The concentration of Ormus can instantly increase. Ormus is known, under certain conditions, to attract more of itself from out of the ethers, from another dimension. Simply being aware that Ormus exists and focusing on gathering more of it into yourself is often enough to feel some effects. This is especially true in places saturated with Ormus, such as Hawaii. In these places, it is easier to draw the mana into you. As long as you live, mana cannot be completely excreted. It cannot be totally lost. It is always there at some level in reserve. Muhammad Ali said, "I hated every moment of my training, but I knew if I just didn't quit, I'd live my life as a champion." He knew inside himself there was something more that was always in him, no matter how fierce the fight or how exhausting. Even when everything seemed to be gone, Ali knew that if he just kept going, he would regain a second, third, fourth, or a fifth wind, whatever was needed to win. The power he was able to draw upon is the hidden mana, the eternal ocean of infinite energy. This is from Nick Gird. Ali, by the way, means God's fearless warrior. Muhammad Ali has inspired a lot of us. He certainly has inspired me. As a boy, I would always get my dad to wake me up in the wee hours of the night to watch Ali's live fights. His float like a butterfly, sting like a bee mantra gave him a mystical shamanic power that his opponents did not possess. His poetry and mantras were personally empowering to him, so much so that he managed to define himself as a unique force in a very rich epoch. The quality and ability of his contemporaries during those years has never been surpassed. His was the golden age of heavyweight boxing, and yet he stood atop the mountain on account of his abilities to tap resources that the other fellows could not access. I learned the principles he applied and tested them in the Thai boxing rings of Asia and Europe. They were so effective that within 1 year of experimentation, I fought a former European light heavyweight kickboxing champion on 3 separate occasions. I never fought because I was vicious or nasty or enjoyed hurting people, but it was the training ground within which I could confront fear and deal with inhibition in such a definite way. Fear is the great debilitating, constricting, contracting emotion. It is no coincidence that fear is the central component of the ego. Fear can constrict and distort the free-flow harmonic of mana. The Force. The Force is what gives a Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together. That's from Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars. In the Star Wars saga, powerful archetypal messages and images were delivered to millions of individuals all over the world. At present, most individuals are functioning only through 5 defined sensory modalities: eyes, ears, nose, taste, and touch. And they process sensory information entirely based on logic and reason, and therefore are unable to feel the Force. The 5 senses comprehend less than 0.00000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 often what is comprehended with them is then distorted as it goes through other neural, mental, and cerebral processes, which are all based entirely on past, often haphazard, programming. The force is a feeling experience. You can feel it physically, but our real relation with it is in a mystical realm. The force is the mysterious energy and information that comes out of the ether, through the Ormus elements, and into our reality. In the Star Wars films, a mythic name was given for the Ormus elements. They are called midichlorians. The midichlorians are actually conscious atoms inside different beings that are intertwined with the force, and if you have a significant quantity of those, then you have the potential of becoming a Jedi Knight or superhero, or a Sith Lord, an Illuminati leader. You have the potential of manipulating the Force. As it relates to our subject matter, the Darth Vader, Dark Father archetype is very special. Because Darth Vader, as a child, had the most midichlorians ever discovered in any being. That's why the Jedi Knights believed him to be the Chosen One. And then what happened was he got distorted, he got tweaked, he got turned into an industrial machine. He became a Sith Lord through a distortion of his consciousness using the Force. The Force can take us either way. It can amplify either constructive goals or corrosive behaviors. This thin line continuously tempts the main character of the greatest story ever told, keeping us at the edge of our seats. This looming danger of turning to the dark side must be present. The Jedi superhero at this juncture reflects upon the training of the last chapter, Markia. Energy flows where attention goes. Through Markia, the superhero stays on track. As we develop a positive, constructive relationship with the Force, we get out of thinking and into feeling. We can feel so much more wonder in nature with our souls than we can see with our eyes. We can actually feel the vaulted beauty of nature, and we can truly find tongues in trees, books in running brooks, sermons in stones, and good in everything. The line of spiritual inquiry that the superhero pursues is simply how to become aware of more than 0.0000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 reason and rationalize or believe in the force. Those thought forms are actually traps played by the mind. Rather than belief, the real question is, how do you feel about it? What are you feeling in your heart? How are you feeling right now? When you hear about a race somewhere, on some other planet that actually blew up their planet and then destroyed the next planet they tried to live on, and then finally became conscious, got out of conflict, all became ascended masters. And instead of being happy building pyramids and meditating in caves, built super ships and travelled across the cosmos to see how big God really is, and are sitting right at this very moment on the other side of Saturn's moon, Titan. How does it make you feel? Inspired? Astonished? Excited? Happy? Imagine an entire race of aliens that saved themselves from themselves and made it into higher levels of enlightened consciousness. That is the true potential of the Force. All that might be too much for our imagination, so we recommend using an application of the Force called the Jedi Mind Trick while going through customs or security when you travel. The power of it is just an awareness. If you didn't know about the Jedi Mind Trick, you could not use it. We find that using your consciousness to influence reality directly while under pressure is always surprisingly effective. Consider this. Two overweight, sad people are sitting down to a dinner of microwave pig with their two children. In the background, the TV is playing some mind-numbing and emotion-lowering nonsense. Inside the minds of the children, something miraculous is happening. The walls of the house have been completely blown off. The front door swings open and a gust of wind sweeps in. The ceiling disappears as the nighttime stars peer down. Images of adventure, starships, and a universe of infinite possibility pour forth. Outside, a benevolent and all-giving universe. Inside, a microwaved pig. Wafts of magical foods growing in sacred megalithic gardens strike the children's imagination. Images of beauty, mountains, streams, rivers, still lakes, quiet forests and leaves engulf the two young minds. In thought, the children move out of the house, partaking of the natural delight. They transform, as if by magic, into supernatural beings. The atmosphere around them becomes magnetically charged with the dance and crackle of ions, ormus and bions. Enchantment is everywhere. With an intimate, living wisdom, the children turn to face the deep, ancient forests, knowing something has awoken. The most powerful technique ever for becoming saturated in ormus. Superheroes, cosmic knights, tap into the ormus through their genetic blueprint, which may act to attract ormus elements in from the ethers. History and some study on the subject confirm that the predisposition for certain types of awarenesses and paranormal abilities, siddhis, are simply present in some individuals at birth. However, genetic fortune is not the entire picture. Some individuals have done years and years of focused research on the proper air, food and water to ingest, and diets and exercises to do, raw food, herbs, superfoods, qigong, yoga, dance, surfing, hiking in nature, ujjayi breathing, etc. In order to absorb the maximum amount of ormus, mana, prana out of the environment. Some have moved to areas rich in mana in order to soak it in by simply living there. Others have sought how to remove blockages in order to allow mana to flow in. These approaches are fantastic and produce measurable results, but this is not the entire picture. Muhammad Ali said, "I said I was the greatest in the world long before I was, and long before I believed it." His repeated mantra, "I'm the greatest," and the power of those words could elicit in Ali's psyche a spiritual fervour that allowed him to open mysterious soul powers and draw in the mana. He attracted it. He cultivated the mana inside himself. This is a very powerful concept. You can increase the amount of mana in your body by meditating on it. But first you must know the meditation and what it is. The secret of mana, the most powerful technique ever for drawing in Ormus, is meditating within, on, and around inspiration. Inspiration activates the Ormus light body, draws mana in, and opens the floodgates, allowing in a universal abundance of energy and information. In the golden flow of inspiration, there is an infinite power. This is why having the best day ever is not optional. It is an Ormus gathering technique. Something can come from nothing whenever you access that state. The Israelites were sustained by mana from heaven during their 40 years in the wilderness. The Sanskrit word for this mystical nectar is manabhav. It is the golden juice of yogic communion, the most sublime and subtle, magical and mystical element of our existence. Living in a state of perpetual inspiration, where you can access what inspires you, where chills are constantly running up and down your body, where the entire mystery of the universe is perpetually intriguing you in the most fascinating journey of discovery ever, where you daily sip the nectar that transforms you, where you can take your rightful place in a starring role as the underdog in the most thrilling, heroic, unpredictable tale of love, mystery, suspense, and triumph ever imagined. This is the true destiny of the cosmic superhero. Alexander the Great. More than 2,300 years ago, Alexander the Great led a forced march across a hot and desolate plain. On the 11th day, he and the soldiers still with him were near death from thirst. Alexander took the lead and pressed on. At midday, two scouts brought him what little water they could find. It was just a few sips rolling at the bottom of a helmet. Their throats burning, Alexander's men stood back and watched him enviously. Alexander turned the helmet over and poured the water on the hot sand at his feet. Then he said, "It is of no use to drink when many thirst." The men desperately needed water, but they received instead something much more valuable, something Alexander alone had to give, inspiration. Nick on mana. Mana gives us presence. Recall how at the beginning of this book we talked about the joyous fact upon which these principles are founded, that something wonderful exists inside us. Well, now we know it's inside everything, all around us, everywhere. For me, the most amazing thing is the way our conscious intent magnetizes this magic through inspiration. As we invest our love in mana, we draw it into us and it activates our being. I love the way this is so alive. How relationship replaces theory, feeling replaces idea. This is the metaphysical aspect of personal alchemy, and we can tap the mana anytime. Perhaps the simplest thing we can do is breathe it in. One person can be taking a breath unconsciously, and the next person breathing consciously. The difference in what they absorb is the difference between being an immortal yogi superhero and an ordinary person. That's the difference. It's a great question to ask yourself, where is my awareness? Your breath is tantamount to a continuous meeting between us, your angels, your higher consciousness, and your earthly self. It is a round table discussion in which your next move is planned and then the next. All of this is based upon your intentions, you see. With your out-breath, we are able to extract from you that which you no longer desire. And with your in-breath, we imbue you with positive direction, which holds you up in the face of apparent discord. That's from Doreen Virtue. Messages from angels. What your angels want you to know. Imagine an ormus-soaked biology. Every cell in your body switched on, happy, juicy, and saturated in ormus. What would happen? Thoughts of infinite love and wonder, fueled by feelings of compassion, floating across consciousness. Super-healthy cellular structures resonating with the highest frequencies of creation. Natural substances of the highest order, loaded with X-factor possibilities, increase the fluidity of being. As feelings of hope, compassion, and appreciation move deeper into the soul, the feelings of love and gratitude and awareness of infinity crystallize. The confluence of these factors activates a biological transmutation. In a divine metamorphosis, what was an ordinary human being now becomes a supernatural being, a superhero, something that had been intended all along. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will attain everlasting life." That's the Gospel of John, verses 51, 56.